We left off yesterday with the kasha that when you say Kriya Shema, you have the halach is you have to be makabel upon yourself in the first parsha, the ol, the yoke of Malchus Shemaim, of the kingship of heaven. And then in the second parsha, you have to be makabel on yourself the ol of mitzvahs. So I asked a very straightforward question, I think, which is, what more is there to the ol of Malchus Shemaim than you'll do what Hashem says? And if that's the case, so then what is the additional thing you have to find yourself only in the second parsha of all mitzvahs? That was my question. Anyone have an answer they want to share? I want to tell you something interesting. I asked this question to Rav Noach Weinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and because it bothered me a lot. And it's Allah Halacha. You're meant to do this when you say Shema. So he said the most amazing insight to me. He didn't blink an eyelid, and he said like this. He said that I'm understanding the word ol wrong. People think the word ol, which is what the cow wears, the yoke, means a burden. You gotta take shoulder two burdens. He said, there's not shot in the word ol. And ol is, what's the function of the yoke of the cow? It's to keep the cow going in the straight and narrow. The cow, because his head is locked in, his neck is trapped, he can't go off course. And that's shot in what an ol is. So he said, the first ol is to accept that Hashem's for real, and to, like Shavisi Hashem Lenegi Tamid, Hashem's there, and to guide your life by that principle. You know, the O, which keeps you on the straight and narrow, is there's Hashem, there's consequences, He created me for a reason, etc., etc. So since He's real, that guides your life. I'm accepting that upon myself, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven, that Hashem's there, my life is led in that way, that keeps me on the straight and narrow. Then he said there's a whole new, much more subtle thing, which is the second parsha of Ol Mitzvahs is that Hashem relates to us, communicates to us, based on our mitzvah observance. And that's what the pshat and the words are. If you see them, it basically says, if you're a good boy, so then Hashem will make things good for you, so you can go on being a better boy. And if you're a bad boy, Hashem will react to you and make things difficult for you to push you back on the path. So get this. The pshat in the ol mitzvahs is that you should take as a guiding principle in your life, when bad things happen to you, that's Hashem talking to you in response to your mitzvah observance and redirect your life accordingly, both for the good and for the bad. So it's a whole different world. The old mitzvah is to believe that what happens to you is a direct consequence of your mitzvah observance and to realign your life according to that principle. Beautiful, beautiful.
Is that the connection to the old? Is the load, that he's connected to the load?
The old is the yoke. Goes like on the animal's head, so like this.
There's a connection to the two. There's a reciprocal, mutual relationship that... He's carrying it. It's attached to him.
Oh, I don't think he was. Could be, but I don't think he was saying that. I think he was just simply saying that the old, because Chazal, when they employ essentially a mashal, a metaphorical term, so you have to understand what the term is to a Tana or whoever wrote the piece of rabbinic comment. So here, the purpose of an ol, a yoke, is to keep the cow, to direct the cow. So we're saying there's two things that direct your life. That Hashem's existence is there, not necessarily that it's physically attached, so to speak, and also that that Hashem's communicating to you based on your mitzvah observance. Beautiful. I thought it was beautiful. Okay, so there you go. So we have the luxury in brachas of having space to talk a little more halacha lemaaseh than ideas, because we're ahead of schedule, thank God. Anyway, we're holding in Perek Beis of brachas, Mishnah Gimel.
Where did that question stem from?
I just asked a question, a basic question, that the mission itself said that you have to be makabel a love. I asked why you do first the parshas in that order.
Yes.
So it answered first Ol Malchus Shemaim and then Ol Mitzvah. So I'm telling you, the question was, what's the difference? Answer is what I told you. Okay. Beautiful. So now we're Mishnah Gimel, Perek Beis. It says, Hakore es Shema, one who reads the Shema. I'm going to try to read to you the words of the Mishnah and translate them as verbatim as possible, so those who want to write the translations can get them also. Akore es Shema, one who reads the Shema, v'lo hishmiya la'ozno, and he doesn't cause it to be heard to his ear. He doesn't hear what he's saying. The Mefarshim will seem to say it's talking about you're whispering, or you're almost not whispering, you're less than whispering. I found very little that say what I think is a much more common case in our days, which is it's noisy. Well, you're standing by the bus station, and you're waiting for the bus, and you're saying Shema, and there's traffic, and if you're whispering, you don't hear. I didn't see much like that angle, but I think that's for sure that
maybe it means reading with your eyes. Though,
right? Well, yes, correct. The Mefarshim is saying that you're saying it, but you're saying it without really, not loud enough to hear with your ears. If you would just be eyeball reading it, that would be called hear word, not even kore. But you know, But you know what I mean? There's like that middle ground there.
Yeah. The third way of reading it so you can't hear, and I've heard it in shul all the time, you mumbling.
So that's a different point. That's worse. That's a disaster. This is, you read the words, you just didn't actually hear the words, because the word in the Shema is Shema, which means also literally to hear. So the Tanakhama here is saying that Shema means you have to actually hear, O Israel, listen to what you're saying, and if you don't hear the words, literally hear them, then you're not Yeltsi. Excuse me, the Tanakhama says, you are Yatza, I apologize, and Rabbi Yossi says you're not Yeltsi. Rabbi Yossi said, because Shema is literal, and the Tanakhama said that Shema means to understand. As long as you understand it, you're Yeltsi, but yeah, but for sure the halach is that you have to, Chachila, hear the words you're saying, which would apply on the train to speak loudly, and maybe put your fingers in your ears on the airplane and so on. Okay.
Excuse me, there's another variable of that, and to me, it seems like if you're trying to say Shema, you're trying to hear, you're trying to relate, okay, and somebody else in a different part of the Beis Knesset belts it out such that your concentration, your own kavanah, your own concentration,
well, that's a good
is wiped out.
Right. That could be problematic, but it's not. This is not this.
Not just Shema. It's
right. Right.
You know.
We're gonna have to limit the editorial commentation just because we're not. Yeah. That. We'll speak of the rules of the game one more time here. If you don't understand a word of a Mishnah, put up your hand for sure, or what I said, I mumbled, it wasn't clear. If you don't understand my words, ask otherwise. And even when I ask questions, they're rhetorical, and I'll wait. We don't want to, usually. Okay. Anyway, so, Kara velo dikdak b'osioseha. Now, if you read the words, but you weren't midakdek, you weren't precise in the letters. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer Yatza, he says you're still Yotzi. Now, this is, the Pasha says, this is when you take words that end with the same letter that the next word begins with, and you say them so fast, they mumble, they blur together, you know? Like, for example, Esev Besadecha, so you can mumble them, they can merge together, and so on, right? Al Levavecha, you have the plural, so it becomes Al Levavecha, one long word. So Dikdak B'Osiyoseh means to put the proper spaces in there. So get this, you're actually saying the words, you're just not saying the spaces properly. And that's the question here. Again, that's Machlokas. Halach L'maisa we paskin Yotzi B'Di'Eved, like Rav Yossi, your Yatza, but L'Chachila you have to do it, but B'Di'Eved your Yotzi, L'Chachila you have to try to pronounce it clearly. Now, this is not the case that David was suggesting, that you're mumbling the words. If you're pronouncing the words wrong, the Pashas are not saying them, you're not Yotzi. Much worse. If you're not saying the words, you're not Yotzi. You mispronounce the words, right? Shomer Pesayim Hashem, it's a pasuk we say in Hallel, right? It means, you know, Hashem protects the
fools,
there you go. But if you look carefully, I'll give you homework. Look carefully how to pronounce the word, Shomer Pesayim Hashem, and see if it's Pesayim or Pesayim. I'll give you homework to do. It makes a big difference. And from Linowitz holds, if you say that discrepancy wrong, Pesayim or Pesayim, sounds the same, right? If you say it, very similar. He holds one you're Yotzi, one you're not Yotzi. Not Yotzi. That's much worse than Lo Diktik Bo Siyaseh. Yeah, that's not saying the word. That's the wrong word.
You have to.
Right? So, that is a middle area, gray area. Ve'ahavta or ve'ahavta.
That's so gray.
It's great for Yotzi B'di'eved or not.
Yeah, it's a question whether Yotzi B'di'eved.
Yeah, it's a question which side, if that's Lo Dikten, or that's the wrong word. Because if you say Ve'ahavta, with the accent at the beginning of the syllable, that means, and you loved, past tense. Ve'ahavta, and you will love, commandments. So, it's a gray area where, if that's Lo Dikten, or worse than Lo Dikten. But either way, when it comes to Kriya Shema, you have to be articulate. That's important because the mitzvah is to say it, and similarly, by the way, by Halal, when the mitzvah, the Rabbanan, is to say those very words, you can't mumble or miss a beat, or you're perhaps not Yotzi, even B'di'eved. One other point that the halacha we're not for is Laman Tizkaru, okay, because Tizkaru with a S sound, and by the way, I'll point out something very important to you. Remember the game Chinese Whispers or Telephone? When you are whispering that mode, you actually, it's impossible to say the letter Z. There's no Z in a whisper. So if you're whispering under your breath Shema, it's basically impossible to say Tizkaru with a Z, Z sound. You better say it out loud, Tizkaru. Because if you say Laman Tizkaru, it means so that you'll get reward from Schar. Laman Tizkaru, you should remember. The Rav brings it here. I think the pshat is that's worse than Lo Dikdek. That's like saying the wrong word. Okay, fine. Hakora lemafreya, if you read it out of order, Shema out of order, Lo Yatzi, you're not Yotzi. This doesn't mean the three parshas out of order, like you said Vayomer before you said Vayam Shemoa. That's not the problem. The problem is you say the psukim, like Mobobal, out of order. You mix up the actual order of the psukim. That loses the integrity of the meaning of the parsha. You're not Yotzi. I was thinking just today, maybe someone knows Hebrew better than me, the word mafriya, I think it's just a modern Hebrew word, I think it's a modern, must be from this word to cause a guy to get all mentally out of whack. Set him out of, internally out of order, to be mafriya, to cause him to be, speculation, it's on the tape, I hope I'm right, but I was just thinking.
Can we conclude from what you say that if you say the parsha is out of order, it's all right?
Yotzi b'diavad, yes, definitely Yotzi b'diavad. Okay. Okay, Karavita, if you were reading Shema and you made a mistake, which happens, then Yachshel Makom Shata, you go back to the place where you made the mistake. The common place of the commentators bring, of course, this first and second parshios have many words in common, right? Because it's talking about the mitzvah of tefillin. So if you were, you know, not that you ever would, but if you're reciting it by rote and you weren't paying attention, you're not sure, am I in the first parsha, the second parsha? Let's go back to the first parsha, that's halacha, to the last place you know for sure you didn't get derailed. But the halacha is, by the way, once you get to the word laman yirbu, so then we already say, like, you know, you've gone, your mouth knows the way in the Shema, it took you, you didn't mess it up, you don't have to go back. But if you're in the middle, you think, oh my gosh, where am I? Then you got to go back to the first one, okay? Fine. Mishnah Dalet, this is going to be talking about the chiyuv of Kavana in Kriya Shema. Ha'umnin, an uman is a worker, a professional. And these are umnin that are professional who deal with working in high places, builders or, you know, fruit pickers. Korin, they're allowed to read Shema, Barosha Ilan, up in the tree. This means a tree with lots of branches. Or Barosha Nidbach, or on top of a Nidbach. Either means a scaffolding out of wood or a, like a stone wall, either way, the same idea. They're used to it, so they can have enough kavana for Shema, they're not going to be nervous, you know. I haven't seen the very famous picture, the black and white picture of New York City with all the guys, construction workers working on. Okay, so they're used to it, so they can, you know, they can have kavana. But you and I up there, you're not, you know, you're saying Shema because you think it's your last chance before you fall off, right? So, Mashain and Rishain, Masos Ken Batfila, even them, so a Bala Bias can't, a regular guy can't say where he's going to be, have lack of kavana. But none of them, even an uman, an expert, can't say Shemona Esrei up in the tree because you need to have proper kavana. You basically, you got to be sort of lost in your prayers and level, and there's danger there. And you won't allow yourself to be totally forget the world around you because there's an impending danger. That's why the halacha is you can't even hold things of value. You can't hold your laptop computer in your hand, let's say, while you're davening, or a child, because your mind is always going to be, well, God forbid you get too carried away and drop it. Okay, so that's the halacha here. That's for Shema, which needs only a short burst of kavana. We're lenient on those who are working up in the trees and so on. They don't have to come down. But the Bala Bais would have to do it, even come down.
What are those words? Ma she'enan rishim.
Ma she'enan, what that they aren't, rishain, permitted, la'asot, to do kain, like that, for tefillah. Tefillah, we say, needs extra kavana. It's asking for Rachmim, it's a heavy duty thing, so you can't mess around. Permitted. Sorry?
It'd be like, which they are not permitted.
Yeah.
The problem is the three steps back.
I feel sorry for
this. Very good. By the way, as point of halachic point, you're allowed to, if you need to, just, if you can't go back, for whatever reason, you're allowed to just sort of what you do is you lift your feet up and down, but don't move backwards. If you can't, for whatever reason.
On a plane.
Even if you're sitting on an airplane and you're sitting, you can move your feet, so to speak, as if you're moving backwards, but of course you're not going where you're sitting in your chair. And you could be doing it sitting down even in that case, as we'll see shortly.
Yeah, but you could do it laterally also.
That's all. That's correct.
That would be better probably than up and down.
Yeah, if you can move sideways, that's right. That's right. Very good. Okay, Mishnah A. We're continuing on the theme of Kavana here. A chasson, someone who's just now getting married, Pater Mekriyashma Balaila Harishon. He's Pater from Kriyashma on the first night. The reason why is because he's Osik B'mitzvah. He's involved in a mitzvah. The mitzvah of the Begila Rishona. We're talking about here, he's marrying the Pashas. He's marrying a Besula here. And he's involved in that mitzvah. But the Chiddush here, the mitzvah of course is Pru Revu. But the Chiddush here is, usually, we usually say, you're not Osik B'mitzvah's Pater in a mitzvah. One who's involved in mitzvahs exempt from other mitzvahs. That's assuming that, you know, you can't do both. But if you could do both, do both. So here you'd say, listen, what's the big deal? It's that whole night. Let him say Kriyat Shema. The answer here, the extra chiddush is the idea of tier to the mitzvah. If you're psychologically tarud, you know, you're psychologically overwhelmed, or you know, you can't focus, since Kriyat Shema requires kavana, so that also is exempt. We don't say, you know, grow up and have kavana. We recognize a person couldn't have kavana because you're so worked up about it. And since the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema requires dafka kavana, so we exempt him from saying it. The pashas, I have a bunch of kashas, I'll tell you that. But my answer is, it's just a generic, he's worked up. And I'll say, you know, it's not just specifically, will he find Basulim? That's like the many before should say, he's worried, will he find that she's really a virgin? That's bothering him. But it's not mistab like that. You'll see why in a second. Because the halach is, back to the Mishnah, ad motzei Shabbos. This exemption of saying Kriyat Shema, not having to say Kriyat Shema, applies until motzei Shabbos. The Goron Kesubah Stav Beis says that the minhag back then was they'd get married on a Wednesday night. So if there was a problem, they'd go to Beis on Thursday morning. So you have 4 days. You'd have, right, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You have 4 days. After 4 days, we say, even if you weren't able to, for whatever reason, do that Be'ilas Mitzvah, I can imagine lots of reasons why, so you're no longer exempt. Because you say, by then, after 4 days, he's used to her already. Some of them who want to stick to their guns about finding the Besulim say, well, you know, he'd keep her anyways if he found that she wasn't after all of Besula, after all. But I think it's pretty far. It's exactly the same case. So that would be one of the examples where he couldn't do it 4 days because he's waiting. So after 4 days, basically, those who say like what I just told you, but me, the pashas seems to be the whole tier to the mitzvah. The whole thing is terrifying. You might remember, and he's after 4 days, he's used to her. Libo gasba, he's a calm down, and therefore like he's just not so psychologically involved. He could say Kriyat Shema. So we say we give him 4 days. After 4 days, he should say Shema regardless of.
My question is that he knows beforehand it's Kupanida. So is it then?
So I'm answering. I think the pshat is still that he would be exempt because it's more than just what he'll find in 4 days and what will be, and the whole thing is very stressful from beginning to end. I think what I'm saying now may not be true. I'm making a conjecture, but my feeling from around, this doesn't make sense. You see, it's not just about finding Basulim. So that's why I'm saying must be. We'll get now. This halacha is not like this. We'll see in a minute. The halacha isn't like this at all. In a couple of mishnayos down the way, this is the halacha back then. There's a question in the Meforshim if this applies also, by the way, to Kriyat Shema of Shacharis, which might be adding something to what you're the other side of the story. What you asked me, perhaps he would be exempt because there are those who say that you know, he's not having a havamin of having relations in the morning, daytime, not appropriate then. So therefore, he'd be obligated to say it late night. Others say no. So I guess probably that fork, that machlokas, would probably apply to your question of what if the chuppah is needed? Is it, you know, if relations are off the table, does now make it? Okay, that's a question. Either way, this is definitely not halacha, but it establishes the principle of tirta de mitzvah. Okay, fine. Now, Maisa, it once happened, Rabban Gamliel, Shekara Balala Harishon Shenasa. It happened that Rabban Gamliel, Shekara, that he read Shema Balaila Rishon the first night, Shenasa, that he got married, which is not Lahalacha. We just said, you guys putter. We have a general principle that we say someone who's putter and does it anyway is like considered like a hediot, like a joker. Not. So, hediot is like, I think it's a Greek word, which I think in English became idiot, but a hediot in the Chazal's language just means
commoner.
Yeah, like not up to par, whatever the par is. In the context, commoner. Yeah. Not up to whatever, not up to standard. So Amar lo Talmidov, his student said to him, Lo lamadatana Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us, Rabbi, our Rabbi, shechasan patur mekriya shma balayla harishon, that the chasan is exempt from saying kriya shma the first night. And you say, why they ask it in a question like that? The halacha is someone who has a chiyuv of kavod. You're not allowed to, contradict them. Right? So this is what I teach my own children. Right? Even if you know I'm wrong, that's fine. But you have to say, isn't it true that, or didn't you say that in a question format? And that's the halacha. Okay, so that's a way of complying with the halacha, I should say. Amar lehem, so Rabban Gamliel answered to his talmidim, Eini shamei lachem, I'm not listening to you guys, levatel mimeni, to annul from me, to push off from me, malchus shamayim, the yoke of heaven, kingdom of heaven, afilu sha'achas, even for a minute. So they want to say, the Mepharshim want to say, Kriya Shema is different. The headiest issue doesn't apply here, because Kriya Shema, for whatever reason, is different. It's so important, or he could do it, right? Or that's one thing that's, you know, if you can, you should. Either way, he didn't. Now, we'll see in a second, this isn't the...
What's Lachem? Like, it's his halacha.
Enu Shmei Lachem.
Yeah.
Yeah, I asked that question to a bunch of people. No one gave me a great answer, that's the truth. It's a funny idiom. No one gave me a good answer.
There's more here. There's a contradiction. He taught them that he's potter. He's contradicting himself.
That's why they're asking a question. So he's answering, that is the halacha, but if you can have kavana, because Shema is different, you ought to do it. That's what he's saying. But he's not saying you should. He's saying, I'm not listening to you guys, because I'm different. The question will be, if who is different, who isn't different. Here the halacha seems to be, anyone who's confident they could, then it's not called a mechsi kiyura, it's not looked at as like arrogance. And the Mefarshim there say, what he could conceivably do is say it at night. Let's take a separate question. What about the second day? If he didn't do the ma'aseh yet, on the second day, everyone agrees basically that he could say Kriya Shema, even though he didn't yet fulfill the mitzvah. And the reason why is because everyone will assume that he did the mitzvah, which is the Bila Rishona, and therefore now he's no longer Torah. They'll assume that. So you see, it's an issue of mechzik yira. What will people say? He looks like an arrogant guy. He thinks he's like Rabban Gamliel. You say, if no one would say that, then you're allowed to do it if you think you could. Okay, but as we'll see in a second, the halacha, as we know, l'maisa, everyone does it. We'll see in a little while. Now, the next two mishnayos are tangents, nothing to do with Kriya Shema. The other stories about Rabban Gamliel. It says, Racha, you have to know that there's a halacha in the Torah called when a person loses one of their Zion Krovim, one of their seven relatives, their mother or the father, sister, brother, son, daughter, or their wife, and the sister if she's a basula, right, before she gets married. So you are obligated in certain mourning, M-O-U-R-N, mourning rites. The first one is called aninus. An onen is someone who's lost their relative on this day. Right? That very day, it's a doraisa. The mitzvah of aninus happens on the first day, and then in the nighttime, the rabbis extended it. That's the pasha. So up till sundown or nightfall, it's the status of an onen. After that, you're an onen midirabanan. That's a pasha. So we'll explain like that. And then once you buried the mace, so now you're karov, your relative. You now become what's called an avel. You're a mourner for 7 days. Okay. Now an avel is the pasha's just a rabbinic, not just, but a rabbinic as opposed to a doraisa framework, halachic framework. And as you know, an avel is forbidden from washing. You know, from Tisha B'Av. I think they can't do all the things you can't do Tisha B'Av. That's what an avel can't do, washing included. But an onan can't wash on the day he loses mace, even midoraisa. Okay, so it says Rachat Balaila Harishan Shemeso Ishto. He went and washed. I don't want to confuse the issues. Some say hot, some say cold, some say all the body, some say not all the body. A world of discussion there. Right? Face the word isness. Isness means someone, okay? But either way, he washed not according to Halacha on the first night after his wife died. So again, Amar Lo Talmidav, the students said to him, Lola Maratana Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us, our rabbi, Sha'avel Asr Lirchotz? You can't do that. An avel isn't allowed to do rechita, to wash themselves. Amar Lehem, Eini Kishar Kol Adam, I'm not like other people. Istnis Ani, I'm an istinus. So istnis means the pasha, delicate. That's how Rashi plays. Rashi, delicate. You know, he's a fragile kind of person, and he was very uncomfortable not not washing himself. And since, as you probably know from the halachas of for example, in Tisha B'Av, the Issur Rechitza, the prohibition of washing yourself, has to do with like pleasuring yourself. But just to remove discomfort is permitted. You're allowed to do that. So for in the 9 days, everyone knows. The 9 days, that's where it comes the halacha. You can't wash for 9 days, but everyone does anyways once they get itchy and scratchy, because you're allowed to take away discomfort. So he said, listen, the whole thing's bothering me. I had to wash myself because I'm an istnas. I'm not like people most. I'm a fragile, you know, delicate character. The Rambam learns istnas is from lushan, from a related to the word cold. Like I'm cold. I'm chilled. I'm a cold person. Therefore, I need to use hot water to warm myself up. And that's how he learned it. Either way, the question is, why just the night, the first night that he lost his wife? The truth is, all 7 days rechitza is forbidden. So most want to say the pshat is, it's telling you that the aninus only happens until the Mishnah teaching of aninus, which is a doraisa, only applies on a Torah level till the nighttime, and then it becomes rabbinic. Because of course, midoraisa, if the Torah says you can't wash, then isnus or no isnus, you can't wash yourself, right? Just like on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, you know, I don't care if you're hungry. I don't care how hungry you are. You can't eat, right? Unless you're so. No, there's no exemption for any washing a person on Yom Kippur either, unless there's a risk there to life. Okay. I opened the can of worms, which I'm going to close loosely, which is the status of washing Yom Kippur is a little different than eating. I've conflated the two, but they're not exactly the same. That's a slide point. We're not going to... My bad for opening it up. Okay, fine. Mishnah Zion, we still are now off topic Kriya Shema. The halacha is when you're mourning someone, so you mourn, halachically mourn as an onan or an avel, only your krovim, only your relatives, those seven relatives. So it says, ukeshemes tavi avdo, when tavi, his servant, when the servant of Rabban Gamliel named Tavi died, Kiba lav tanchumen. He accepted condolences. I'll explain what I mean technically in a minute. But the Gemara in many places said Tavi was like sort of a very special guy. It calls him a Talmud Chacham in Sukkah. Says that he'd be fitting to get smicha elsewhere, like in Yoma. So he was, Tavi wasn't just a regular guy. He was a Talmud Chacham, but he was an Eved. In case it's not clear, but derech klal, when the Torah uses Eved, it's referring to an Eved Kanani, which means a non-Jew who came to become an Eved, a servant for a Jewish person, and he gets Mila and circumcised and also Mikvah, and he becomes like a quasi-Jew, okay? But he's exempt, he's not really Jewish, he's like half-Jewish, for lack of a better term, and he's obligated in all the mitzvahs that women are obligated in, okay? I'm saying that because an Eved, that's an Eved Ivri, a Jewish slave, or Jewish servant, is just full-blown Jew. End of story. It's just someone who's basically in, let's call it, debtor's prison. He couldn't pay his bills, so he ended up selling himself to the servitude, but could be any of us, full-blown Jew, with all the obligations of a full-blown Jew.
So doesn't make you a
crow. No, it doesn't yet. Correct. I'm just speaking out with the word, the Eved here, correct. Now, you're asking a great question. Right? There's actually a double barrel question here, which is, you alluded to it, which we'll ask and then we'll answer, which is number one, forget the fact that Rabban Gamliel said you can't mourn for a slave, right? Forget the slave and accepting condolences for a slave because it's just like lost property, so to speak. You don't mourn for anybody and accept Tanchum unless it's one of your Krovim, and he's not definitely a Krov, not even Jewish. Okay, so first of all, he answered, so Amr Lo, Talmidav, his student said to him, Lola Maratana Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us She'ein Makablum Tanchum Ala Avadim? He said, they said to him, didn't you teach us you don't accept tanchumen for an Eved? Amar lehem, he said, listen, ain Tavi Avdi, my servant Tavi wasn't kashar kol avadim, like other avadim. Kasher haya, he was a kasher. I told you, kasher, he's a special, extraordinary person. So, there's the two questions on the table. The Gra answers, as only the Gra can, that there's two parts to his answer which answers both of them. The Gra says, ain Tavi Avdi kashar avadim. That means that answering the first question, why would you mourn? The halacha is you don't mourn for your avadim. You're supposed to treat them just like, you know, you lost a car, you lost a horse. It's like lost property. It's not, don't take it too personally. That's how Chazal looked at it. And he answered, he wasn't like a regular Eved. He had special status. He had special status. More than that, he was a kasher, kashaya, which that's the second question. Why are you mourning someone who's not your relative? The Gra explains that the halacha is, it's appropriate, and the Mishnah is teaching you it's appropriate, that when you lose a Talmud Chacham, a kasher person, everyone should mourn for them. And therefore he was a special, and we've all lost something great here. So that was his answer to them. Okay?
So why did he accept the Talmud and not the Hadith Talmud?
That's a good question. Maybe they should have. I don't know.
Well, he had to tell them that he was coaching. They didn't realize he had all this.
What, sorry? Not my answer, my question. Oh, there's a Yerushalmi that says that a separate, besides the Gra's answer, a separate answer from the Yerushalmi, which says that someone who's your student is like your son. Everyone knows the right? The Rashi there. So when you lose your own student, that's like losing a child, and you mourn. There's such a thing like that. Just like losing your Rebbe, you mourn like a father, because you're a Rebbe Mubchak for sure. So Tavi was like his son in that way, a close student. And therefore, again, that's another answer why he mourned. Very good. Okay. Mishnah Ches. This is going back to our question about what you raised before, about the what's with Chassanim saying Kriya Shema. So this Mishnah says, a Chassan, im ratza likros Kriya Shema, laila rishon kore. A Chassan, if he wants to read Kriya Shema, if he thinks he can do it with Kavana, he's welcome to. That's the Tana Kama. You're allowed to try it. Okay? Now, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the son of Rabban Gamliel, Omer, lo kol arut litos Hashem yitol. Not everyone who wants to take the name can take it. No, just don't be so cavalier and think you could do it. There's a reason why Chazal said you couldn't do it. Not everyone's up for the challenge.
He's
arguing the Tana Kama. I guess he held his father could be no tel l'shem. His father was Rabban Gamliel, but not everyone. Don't think you're Rabban Gamliel. That's what he's saying, right? So the Tana Kama says, if you think you could, give it a whirl. He says, one second. Now I'm going back to that language of Mechzikiyura. Don't kid yourself. Unless you are known to be a real heavy-duty tzaddik, so then it looks ridiculous for you to start thinking Kriyashma. Everyone knows that you're Potter, and who you think you are. That's his response. Now the halacha is actually sort of inverted today. Instead of saying it's Mechzikiyura, it looks arrogant to try to say Shema, we say just the opposite. We say, listen, who are you kidding? Everyone knows when you say Shema, your mind wanders. So who are you trying to kid and say that, oh, tonight you can't have Kavana. Every other time, of course you could, but just not tonight. So we say, everyone, do the best you could, just like every night, do the best you could. And that's the halacha. Of course, the chassan says Kriya Shema even on the night of his wedding. Yeah. Okay, very good. So that's in the Perek Beis.